Survivor Specialist Phil and Alexa are back with another episode of our Ultimate Survivor season. And today we are talking about eight players. Nothing tastes better than $500. The episode where Randy Bailey makes a total ass out of himself with a little help from all of his friends. One of the most vicious and unnecessary blindsides, I'd argue, in all of Survivor history. And yet that is what makes Gabon so unique and so damn fun to watch. It is just pure chaos from start to finish, and nobody is nice to each other. And what cracks me up is Survivor producers had the audacity to tell us that there was a damn hero on this entire season. Alexa, nothing tastes better than $500. Is what, your favorite episode or close to?
This is the best standalone episode. I don't know if it's my favorite. I guess it probably has to be if I'm going to put that first title on it. If anyone's a hero, it's most certainly not the person who guilts the old man into, I guess she doesn't guilt him, like suckers the old guy into giving his fake idol to the asshole just to make him look like even more of an asshole. And the whole cookie situation, which I know we'll talk about, like, I know it's dumb, but I really forgot how dumb it was. Like, this is, middle schoolers wouldn't do this.
No, middle schoolers wouldn't do this, but here's what here's what my belief is with this. In the case of Survivor, it actually is a big deal. Because it's the same thing as, like, if you were to say to me, ha, 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 I'm going to spill this water out in front of you, I'd be like, thanks, dude. Like, I really was actually thirsty. But if you spilled water out in front of a person who hadn't drank in 3 days, then you're an asshole. And in this case, you're on a show where you're not eating all the time. This isn't going in the cabinet and pulling out the last five Chips Ahoy's cookies, and then Randy can't have one, so instead he makes himself popcorn. This is, now I'm not going to eat anything sweet for potentially 3 or 4 or 17 more days. And so, like, it is a big deal in terms of what it is, but because it is a cookie and because of how childish they all are, it makes it so much less integral to what is actually important.
It's also a gigantic cookie. Like, yeah, it's like big. It's like 8 Chips Ahoy's, and it's like a nice thin looking cookie. Most of Survivor food doesn't look good. This cookie actually looks quite good.
Yeah. But
you're completely right, because you're watching this from the lens of somebody who probably just ate Chinese food on their couch and they're sitting with their family watching this. So this looks triply dumb because you're full watching it. But and you're full, and you're also surrounded by people who ideally you enjoy being around. Randy and Sugar were in none of those situations.
No, absolutely none. And Sugar was also kind of looking at this from the perspective that you're discussing. Because Sugar was around people she liked, with the exception of Randy. She liked Bob. She didn't mind Corinne. She was the one who was eating the cookie. So for her, it's so easy to blow this up and make it seem bad. But at the same time, what I love about Randy, And I think Crystal says it, you're a troll. You're a damn troll, something like that. Because he is a troll. And I think that's what was being missed in this episode by a lot of the people on his cast, is like, he is trolling them into oblivion. The part where he tells Susie to shut the F up is crossing the line big time. But everything else he's doing is trolling the living daylights out of them, just to, even when he's talking to Maddie and Maddie goes, don't do this, and he starts laughing. Yeah. He's not laughing because, like, of any other reason than Maddie's mad and he got under his skin.
And the thing is, he even says that. Like, I watched the premiere of Gabon a couple weeks ago, and Randy, he knows exactly what he's doing. And I remember when I was watching this the first go around, I didn't have like enough of an idea of how meta Survivor could be, but he knows, he knows that people don't like him, and he knows that it's very easy for him to be abrasive. And he actually made a pretty funny comment in a confessional in this episode. He's like, you know, I mean, it's, people like me because of my charming personality. Like, of course people hate him because of his personality. So, and even says, he does the classic, like, I'm not getting my way, so I'm going to blow up camp. That never, ever works. But, and in this case, it like triply doesn't work, but he's choosing to do this. You feel bad for the guy.
You do feel bad for the guy. And the thing is, I'm all about people blowing up the camp. And what makes me laugh is, Randy does have quite a following. I mean, there's no denying it. Randy is well-loved. But in general, like when Scott Pollard did this, it was so frowned upon. And then Jatia did it and everybody's like, we love Jatia. We stand Jatia. And all I'm saying is it's so funny how it totally depends on how it seems it's coming across. Jatia wasn't a villain. She was just kind of like, even though she was on the Brain Tribe, the joke was like, Jatia's not all there. What's going on here? And so because she wasn't a villain, people were like, oh, she could dump the rice. This is hilarious. But when Brandon Hance did it, people wanted to murder
him. And it's upsetting.
Yeah, when Scott Pollard did it, they wanted to murder him. And when Randy does this, people are like, get the hell out of here, you troll. But what I love about Randy is this was really the first time we saw it done to this extent. And this is 100% the reason why he plays again on Heroes versus Villains.
Yeah. And I think you're right. This actually, one of the notes I took was that he is so destructive that he gets himself voted out instead of being dragged to the final three. But I think you're right that we're not at the point of dragging people to the final three or the final two yet. So people actually make like the correct decision of this person is annoying me, I will get rid of them, rather than now where there's the, you know, the extra layer of self-awareness in the game of, oh, this guy sucks. I'm going to take him to the end.
Yeah, exactly. And what's funny is in the worst final three in Survivor history, the girl who is being shown as the hero to Randy's villain gets zero votes.
Yeah.
Which further proves that in the Sugar versus Randy thing, Sugar comes out looking right because Sugar is the one who ultimately beats him.
Yeah, win. She quote unquote wins. Yeah.
Yeah. Randy.
Because Bob wins. So like via her, Bob.
Yeah. And Bob ends up not looking too bad in this episode, despite everything. And despite the fact that he should have looked bad, but Randy only looks bad because of this. And Timothy McCormick says, here, I think Randy wins if he goes to the end with Fang. It's so true. Because if he goes to the end and sits next to Kenny and Crystal or sits next to Sugar and Crystal or something like that, he's going to get the votes of Corinne, Marcus, Charlie, and Bob. And those four votes would be enough to win the game. Which is crazy because in this episode, he is probably, with the exception maybe of Johnny Fairplay, which we'll talk about soon, the biggest asshole, or that and Ben and Shannon. Let's go that route, and then Varner and, you know, all these things. But he's the biggest asshole in Survivor history without crossing an actual, like, life-threatening line or without crossing a line that, like, impacts somebody's life in a very negative way, such as the Varner thing. He's the biggest asshole ever in this episode, and yet he still would have won the game had he gotten to the end because four of his friends would have been on the jury. That's how stupid this was. And that's actually why, while this play is really bad, it wouldn't have been that bad if he would have just crossed the line enough and not gone home. Because if Randy does get dragged to the final three because he's such a bad person, he would have won.
Yeah. Which actually, I know you don't, I hate that I have become this person. But in a season of South African Survivor, this actually happens. The person gets dragged to the end and ends up winning because he's actually against people who are worse than him. So that would have been a really good timeline. People in the chat here are saying, where would Randy rank as a winner? I have absolutely no
idea. Top five.
I think top five, no questions asked. But I think, I mean, and especially like, you know, like the Susie thing I think is especially interesting because Susie technically beats Sugar and Susie is the one who gets like the shittiest end of this Randy situation here. But I wrote down, she's so inoffensive. Like she is probably a normal, boring, lovely woman. And yet she fucks up every single thing that she tries to do. She is an awful player.
I do believe
not to use an F-bomb. I know we don't.
Yeah, you did. But I do believe that Susie Smith, so when you think about Survivor history, I think Susie Smith is the most boring player, bland player to
she's
make
like
it far
lady,
in Survivor history. Like, I don't understand what was seen in her when the casting went on. And while she is very nice, like you said, like she seems very reasonable, very nice, all that, she doesn't do anything exciting the entire season. She doesn't have a huge personality. She's not a villain. She's not overly heroic. Her job isn't all that interesting. It's not like she's like super hot or part of like an ethnic background that we hadn't seen on Survivor before. I don't understand what it was that got her on the show. And yet she was Randy's vote away from winning. And Randy regrets not voting for her despite telling her to shut the F up.
They probably had her on for like the quote unquote older woman quota, because they maybe just assumed that Jillian was going to be really bad. What is Ryan Chan say? Oh, apparently Susie was casted as fodder, expected to be an early boot, which LOL. That's the thing. That's kind of like the Jillian thing. I think they cast the two of them and they were like, maybe they thought Jillian would be super spicy and Susie would not. So they were like, one of the, like, either Jillian's going to go far and like really be hilarious, or she's like, they'll go out in a blaze of glory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And like, so like for Susie, I sit here and I'm like, and not for nothing, like while the Survivor community likes Lydia because of the pancake dance, Lydia also wasn't very interesting. So like when it's like, oh, she was being cast as like the second coming of Lydia, like that one doesn't really work because
there's no first coming.
Yeah. Why? Like nobody was like dying to see a second coming of Lydia. That would be like if after Ko-Rong, Jeff Probst was like, and the next Michelle Fitzgerald is on season 33. People would have been like, why? Didn't you just hear what everybody just said? Like,
that's
like,
Gina Cruz.
Exactly. Like all these people who I love, but like that the general Survivor population, like you're not dying to have another Lydia. You're dying to have another like Aubrey or Rafe or something like that. And so it's funny that Susie gets on here, almost wins the game. And like, as we're watching her go through the game, she really is just there to be like, oh, I don't know. He's just miserable. I feel sorry for him. And then he's like, you know, that's a way of saying how pathetic. And it's like, yeah, Randy, no shit. And she's like, I didn't mean it like that. It's like, no, no, really? Really?
Exactly. Yeah. And he, and like, that's the thing. She's like trying to be nice, but he is just like, he's understandably fighting back. And she's like, I didn't think that hard. Like, I didn't think that hard about that thing I said about you.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, what I love about this type of season was Randy wasn't doing this with the hopes of playing Survivor again. Randy was really doing this as a strategy and as just, this is who I am and this is how I'm going to play when my back is completely against the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And I love it. I absolutely love it.
Yeah. I feel like even this is like, even at this point, even though we've already had like one point or actually like a handful of returning seasons, I still feel like people aren't playing to be on a returning season. I don't think we do that until post Heroes versus Villains.
Agreed. And I think that the difference with Gabon was, I think this was the first season where there was a severe disgust amongst the castaways for each other.
Yes.
I don't like, this is genuine. This is genuine. And we see that at Ponderosa, when they get there and Crystal and Kenny aren't allowed to talk to Randy and Charlie and Marcus and Corinne because they hate them so much. And it's funny because like Bob wins because he gets all of the coda votes. Like that's why he wins the game.
Yeah.
And there's no reason that he should have won because really at the end of the day, Bob is just kind of whatever Bob is. Now I love Bob as a winner, but Bob just kind of is what he is. And so if there wasn't such a hate, I don't think you'd see the winner you'd see. I don't think you'd see Susie or Sugar being classified as a hero. And I don't think Randy would have been nearly as vicious towards these people. But he legitimately hated Crystal and Kenny and Susie. And Susie, Crystal, and Kenny legitimately hated him. That's going to create chaos. Like, that's going to create a lot of negativity around camp.
Right. And one of the reasons this episode is so good is because of all the voting confessionals that come with it. But again, kind of like how we were just talking about how no one's playing Survivor to play a second time. Those confessionals were said fully truthfully. They meant every venom dripped word that they said and every single one to each other. And I know people don't like the season. I don't know anyone who doesn't like the season, but this is to me why it's so good, because these are real people. Like these are like, we can talk about people from all walks of life all day. This is it.
Yeah. And the thing with Survivor, a lot of seasons is there's a lot of seasons that play out the same way as other seasons. Like, oh, this one is very similar to this one. And, you know, you could have 10 different Australias, 10 different Ko-Rongs, 10 different millennials or Shen X. Doesn't matter. But Gabon is legitimately the only Gabon. The only other one that comes close is Worlds Apart, but Worlds Apart doesn't edit their characters very well. And you end up with a winner that is, if Marcus won this season, You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Like that's what happens. And
also like a little uglier. Like there's something funny about how much they hate each other in Gabon. It's not funny in Worlds Apart.
Well, because in Worlds Apart, it starts to become like a race thing or a, you know, with the Shireen thing. Like there's a lot going on in Worlds Apart that we don't want to touch on.
It's, I think you're right, because it's, to me, like a hard no in Gabon is Corinne's like comments to Sugar at the final tribal council. That, like, put that into a season and that's Worlds Apart. Like, that's, like, a lot, like, Susie accidentally, like, telling Randy she feels bad for him. Like, that's hilarious. Yeah. Like, the things in Worlds Apart, it's like, these don't make me laugh.
Yeah, and Randy telling her to shut the F up is crossing a line. But at the same point, it's a line he wanted to cross.
Yeah, and I think it's not like he said anything about, like, her family.
Yeah.
Like, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. And like I think that's the thing. I always think, because I was watching Vanuatu, I always think about Rory going off on Sarge. If that was a man, Sarge, would you be okay with it? Would you be okay with that, Sarge? And like, I just think Randy was just at the point where it was like, you know what, Susie, you're the one who opened your mouth, so you're the one who's getting the F-bomb. If that would have been Maddie, it would have been him. If it would have been Sugar, it would have been her. If it would have been Crystal or Kenny, it would have been them. At this point, I don't care. If you're in my way, I'm a freight train and I'm just coming at you. And so I agree with you. I think what makes it funny is you know that these people are being variations of themselves. Because when Corinne and Randy and Marcus and Charlie were at the top of the throne, that was fine. Everybody loved them. Everybody, they were like, hey, we're fun and whatever. And I think that there's still something so positive about these people, despite how negative and awful they are. Like there's still something you feel like you're watching a real TV show where people are mean to each other, as opposed to watching a TV show where people are trying to dig at people's personal lives. Like nobody was being called out for being gay or because they were, you know, of whatever heritage they were, because of where they grew up or because of anything like that.
They hated them across all boards.
Exactly. And not for nothing. Like it's so fucked up, but there you go. Two F-bombs
for
you
guys tonight.
But it's Gabon night, everybody. It's Gabon night. But it's so messed up. But even when you just said the thing about Corinne and how you want to put that in another season, I still couldn't help but smile because it's so ridiculous. And it's so much more sincere than Reed's bullshit.
And she's, I think if she was listening to this, she wouldn't be insulted. She would agree with me. Like, she is a total jerk. Like, she is, like, genuinely, that is who she is. And she likes that about herself.
She loves it.
It's not like she like wasn't doing like the Reed and Missy thing, which I think is so forced. Like she meant it.
She meant it. And like, if you ever meet Corinne, anybody who's listening to this.
Never met her. Have you met her?
I've met her numerous times because she was part of that LA crew that just showed up at everything. Corinne is exactly like this. And she loves it. Like she loves it. She's the type of woman who'd be like, I'm a bitch. Now I'm going to be a bitch and say bitchy things and I want my bitchy stuff done. Like that's just how she is. And like, she's okay with that. And like the fact that she's okay with that is like, great. That's why this season is entertaining. Randy, we all know that. Yeah. He's a troll and he's an ass, but he also seems like one of the nicest Survivor fans there is out there because he hangs out with Brett and Chris and stuff. I mean, he invited Survivor fans to the reunion. Like I think he's also kind of playing that curmudgeonly role a little bit. And so when you have people who are leaning into it but not crossing a line, it is entertaining because if Corinne and Randy had won the game, they'd be totally different people than they were by losing the game.
Definitely. And I think it always goes back to like the self-awareness thing. And I think like Randy does have self-awareness because he even says in this episode, like he makes a joke about his charming personality and he knows how much everyone hates him. So I think you make a really good point with him inviting fans to take the like the family seats at the finale. I don't think anyone has ever done that. So how, you know, he can't be that bad of a guy.
Yeah, he's not that bad. It's
he's a weird dude and
yeah,
he can be curmudgeon-y, but doesn't make him a, you know, a huge jerk.
And I think that's the biggest thing people need to just remember with Survivor in general is a lot of the people who play Survivor are weird. Like they're not going to be your standard person, even the best of the best. They're not going to be your standard person. There's going to be something with them that is off or weird or whatever. But that's why they end up playing Survivor, because there's something driving them that isn't driving a normal person. And there's something that production sees about this person that they're not seeing in a normal person. And this episode just proves that. I mean, think about, you know, if you know 900 people, 898 of them aren't going to be mad about the cookie, but those two people who are mad about the cookie, those are the two people you always say, hey, they'd be great on that show, or they'd be great on this show, or they'd be great TV, because it's ridiculous.
Yeah. And this, I think Survivor's been doing this since the beginning of time, where it's a little more obvious now, but they cast people who are going to be tense with each other, but they also cast people who are going to fall in love, i.e. Charlie sees Marcus and can't even see straight until he gets voted out and gets to sit next to him for the rest of the game. So they know what they're doing. And this, I think this was an excellently cast season. Start to finish, this is a great season.
It's an excellently cast season where all of the angry people made it far. That's the beauty of this season.
And that, I think, is a sign of a good season, because we say all the wrong people got far in Ghost Island. All the wrong people got far here, and it was arguably better because of it.
Absolutely. And it's funny, because if you actually think about the final four, three of them are either the nicest or the least problematic people on this season, in Susie, Bob, and Maddie. And yet people will still be like, man, they all were such asses. They all suck. They were all so awful. And it's not true. Like, it's not true. But like, you got the best final four, maybe with the exception of Charlie getting there, that you could have gotten from this merged tribe.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, like, it still was just kind of like everybody still felt like, oh, there's something mean about all them. Maddie doesn't say a mean thing the entire season. Maddie just gets lumped in because Maddie gets lumped in.
Maddie is just so sad and confused always.
Always. I mean, the poor guy, he was on the wrong season, man. He just really was.
He was on the complete wrong season.
Yeah. So
what else do we have here? People always talk about this when they talk about the fake idol. This is the best fake idol that's ever been made. This is beautifully done idol. I don't really know what resin is, but he made it with that.
Yeah, I'm going to sound stupid, but it's like a tar kind of. It makes it stick. That's all. It's like a sap.
So how do you make that?
Yeah, so what's funny is this is the best fake idol coming off of the worst fake idol in Survivor history, which was the Ozzy one. And I think that's what gave Bob the idea, was what had happened with Ozzy's stick. And I think he was like, oh, I'll just make a fake idol and I'll go with that. And we had seen a fake idol back with Jamie in season 15. So this was starting to become a little bit more of the norm. But Bob's is so well made that there's no way to think that that thing is fake this early in Survivor history. Mm-hmm. You just have to assume it's real. And it's the best one made by far, and not for nothing. This episode really, really, really drives home the fact that Bob is going to win this season. Even if people don't want to admit that, him going on his own personal safari and getting the epic music and not getting made fun of the way Coach gets made fun of the next season, he's standing with the stick and, oh, look what I'm doing and blah, blah. It was pretty obvious something good was going to come of this guy after this.
I think so too. And I think, you know, especially during that scene where Sugar is coming up to him and saying, like, let's give it to Randy. Let's do this. Like, and I'm sure this is also just Bob's demeanor, but he's not like, yeah, let's embarrass him. He goes into a confessional and he's like, if it keeps me alive, I guess I'll do it.
Yeah.
So he takes the, like, he's one of very, very few people in this episode who looks like the nice guy.
Well, and you know, some people might say, was Bob's move worth it? Or did he just needlessly play along? And I actually think this is the move that led to him being chosen by Sugar at the end, rather than her just siding with Maddie. But it was also almost simultaneously the move that ultimately lost him the game, without a doubt, because Randy could have easily said, F you, I'm not doing this. I'm not going to vote for you ever. And the most you're going to get is three, and you're going to lose to somebody. So it, like, simultaneously got him to the finals and almost simultaneously broke him from being able to win the game. But it worked out, and it was the right move, because Sugar was just like that vindictive at this point. She wanted to ruin Randy's existence. They all wanted to ruin Randy's existence. And it gets Bob a little bit further in the game. And sometimes in Survivor, all you need is one more.
Exactly. And you need someone to pile the votes on you at the end, which Sugar did an excellent job of. He had quite the wing woman. One other thing that I thought was interesting in that immunity challenge, Corinne buys an advantage. I think if that advantage happened in present day Survivor, we would hate it. She skips like the entire, she skips the first half of the challenge.
This challenge sucks. Cause
it's a challenge that sucks. And like any of those stage challenges are not fun.
Yeah. The stage challenges don't work. And especially a stage challenge where it's literally run across a balance beam three times and that's it. Like, that's really bad. And so I think we'd be annoyed by that anyway. It's not a very good challenge. It's really unexciting. I agree with you. I think we would hate it. I also think, though, like, it's okay if you spent your money and that's what you get. Like, then sure, you got something really good. Yeah, I mean, it's
great for her.
Malcolm should have won his season because of an advantage like this. He just couldn't do it. That was something he was never going to win. And I think Corinne in this situation, you know, she was never going to win this either. Like, it really didn't make that much of a difference, but I'd rather see it at final eight than at final four. That's for sure.
Yeah. And I do kind of like the domino challenge. I like that. I guess Ryan Chan's also saying here that it's not fun to watch. It's normally not fun to watch, but I think this one was well edited because everyone gets far, everyone falls apart. Mm-hmm. And then all three of them, whether or not it actually happens, they push it at the same time. So there's fun camera angles you can play with there. But I think it's, like the trip wires are a little more fun, like having to crawl through than the ones that are like just by your feet.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that. Yeah, but I mean, this episode makes you miss the auction more than anything. And like, we see these domino challenges.
Yes, too. I feel like there was less to it.
I think that there was more stuff. They just wanted to make it seem like Kenny was overthinking and didn't actually buy anything. I'm pretty sure Kenny bought stuff, but they just wanted to make it seem like he didn't buy stuff. Yeah. Because ultimately what gets Kenny voted out of the game is like, he's overly confident that something better is going to come along and it doesn't. So I think they were kind of messing with us like that, but there's so much drama around it. It's like, why spend our time, especially when you have Bob's best moment of the entire season and you have Randy and Corinne just absolutely wreaking havoc. And, I think it's Bob in the next episode. He's the one, he comes out and he like complains kind of about how Sugar reacted to the entire thing and how it was like rubbing salt and all of that. So like Bob does feel bad about what takes place in this episode, because at the end of the day, Bob handing it to Randy means that he thought it was real. We had not seen a wrapped up idol at this point with like the note that says, congratulations, you have found an immunity idol. So he knows that Bob knows it wasn't real. He knows Bob knows it wasn't real at that point. And so like, by Sugar and Crystal all laughing in Randy's face, you know, that's a bad look for Bob. And he does actually end up fighting it. It's just an episode late on everything.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, Bob went along with it. So that also means he's going along with that. I mean, he voted that way. Like, he goes along with the entire alliance, like good or bad.
Yeah. He doesn't have a choice because his alliance is vanishing and he needs to just survive longer than Corinne, which he does. And then, you know, that puts him in the position where now he's useful. Now he can be useful to the people who feel like they're on the wrong side of the numbers. And it works for him,
yeah,
ultimately.
Exactly. And Ryan Chan is another good, Logmeister. Wow, we haven't seen him forever. Hello. This episode is also just full of incredible confessionals. Randy leaves half drunk, broke, and pissed off.
Yeah.
Like, I think also him being like, kind of tuned up just really helps elevate how ridiculous it was.
Absolutely. I mean, you put alcohol in the mix, you're going to get results, and we get results. We get results in this one, and they are so worthwhile. I mean, I will say that Gabon, for as much as it is disliked at the time, had one of the most popular casts ever. And it was coming at a time when all of the casts were becoming popular, but season, obviously China and Micro and Gabon, those three seasons had incredibly popular casts. 14, 13, 12, 11, not so much. 10 was hit or miss. 9, not popular. This was an incredibly popular cast. And you see why, because they all are so distinctly who they are. Kenny, right, and Crystal and everybody but Susie is so distinctly who they are. And I think it helps that you have a chaotic person like Sugar, and you have a person who's willing to go along with it like Bob, and you have a nice guy like Maddie, and you have dicks like Corinne and Randy who love that they're dicks. Like, it makes this season work. And I don't understand why this season is disliked. I've never listened to any of this stuff. I don't get it.
I can't tell if it's one of those things where a lot of people say, I don't get why this is disliked at each other. But like, I spent a lot of time on Survivor Reddit, and I feel like so many people, they'll post and be like, Gabon is so underrated. And there's like 3,000 comments about how underrated it is. I don't know anyone who doesn't like the season. Like, I know people who wouldn't say it's like in a top five for them, but I feel like the amount of people who hate the season are this like incredibly loud, or not loud. I think they're a minority and people just assume that there's more of them.
Is it because of RHAP? Because I know RHAP had it near the very bottom. Is it like RHAP?
It might be because of them.
Is it RHAP? And then I'm trying to think, I'm going to look up where Dalton Ross has it ranked. Yeah, Dalton Ross has it ranked all the way down at number 28 of 40. So like, is it just because like vocal people have it ranked low? Because I feel like the fan base loves it.
I think so too. I think that's got to be it. And they're a big part of the fan base for sure.
Yeah. I mean, well, they're very integral. I mean, it's one of those things like, if you go on Rotten Tomatoes before you go see a movie, your perception of that movie is already impacted based on whether it has a 90% or a 30%.
Right.
If you are reading this and you're like, oh, really? He had it that low? Well, you're more inclined to maybe only move it up 3 spots or 4 spots from where that person is, rather than being like, no, that's my number one or that's my number two. And I think that's probably why people kind of think this way. But Dalton Ross has Redemption Island ahead of Africa and Guatemala and Vanuatu. Nothing's ever been more wrong in the history of time.
Oh my God.
If he has Gabon there, then this guy's just wrong. So it doesn't matter.
More than any of those is incorrect.
All of it is wrong. Every single one of it. Every single one of it.
We don't win a rank, but he's wrong.
Yeah. And then Christian Garones says RHAP ranks at bottom. There you go. And I think that is why
there is an impact. Of the community for sure.
And I think the reason why those types of people don't like it is because it is negative. And when you work in any type of journalism. I don't know journalism, but like you negative only is good for like so far. It's like a negative headline might help you, but trying to discuss something negative, like Dalton Ross's lowest ranked season is Island of the Idols because the whole Dan Spielo thing is awful. And then he has to talk about that and he doesn't want to have to talk about that. And I think RHAP might have the same thing. Whereas when you're just in our position where like, this isn't our livelihood, it's kind of like, yeah, you bring on the hate, bring on the disgust for each other. I love that.
And I think, I mean, we already kind of hit the nail on this, but it's like it's like a funny negative. So that's why I like it. I hate negative seasons. I can't stand Thailand, World's Part, any of those.
Yeah.
This one's just hilarious.
This one's just funny. Yeah, I know. And I think it's the characters. The characters, you can't believe how serious they are, you know? Mm-hmm. You can't believe how real, how much they believe the BS that they're putting down.
For sure.
But I hope Kenny plays again one day. That's really the only hope I have for this season.
I think he's someone who he's been floating around for a while. I don't know if it's too late for him. I think unfortunately it is, but he's such a good villain. I remember I couldn't stand him. I liked that. I liked feeling that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love him. Kenny is one of Will's favorite players of all time. I love Kenny. I think Kenny just works on this season. And I really don't think we've seen a player like Kenny again. We tried to say Cochran was or David was. They're not. He is his own thing.
Evil. Like Kenny like turns into a bad guy.
Oh yeah. He turns into a total egotistical ass. Like that's him the whole end of the season.
Exactly. And like all of those people who have that like nerd into strategy growth arc, like you said, Cochran, David, Aubrey, none of them become like egotistical at the end.
Not for nothing, other than Cochran, mainly because he was on Fan vs. Favorite season, but none of them really become better or more likable in their second season. No. And I'll be honest, I don't think Cochran becomes more likable in his second season. He just wins his second season. But I think he's more likable in his first season. I think the same thing would probably happen with Kenny. It would be kind of like a one-trick pony, unfortunately.
I think so. But maybe now that he's like a good bit older and like would be a completely different person, I think that could be cool. A lot of these players, they played so soon after their first one.
Yes. And a lot of them were old. This was an older cast pretty much right away, with the exception of Sugar. Sugar was young.
Yes. A lot of the young people were voted out early.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's true. Because Marcus and Charlie were both young, but they went out boom, boom right away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah. Except for like Jillian and Ace. Mm-hmm. But then what was it? Like Michelle, Jackie, like they were all gone pretty early and they were young.
Yeah. Yep. All right, Alexa.
Anything else you have on this episode?
No, that's all I got. I'm going to throw up patreon.com/survivorspecialist and you're going to tell us what we're doing next.
We are doing this. We pretty much like made this series because of the next episode. We were going through and there's really no other option. We are going to Pearl Islands and we are going to recap for our episode, our 7-player episode, The Great Lie, which is the infamous dead grandma lie. So tune in next Wednesday for that. We are skipping a couple days due to scheduling. So next Wednesday at 5:30, we are going to be doing that. If you have not become a $20 patron yet, we actually had a few people this week and become $20 patrons. So gigantic shout out to all of you. We are entering our 200th daily content episode, which means if you become a $20 patron right now, you have at least 200 pieces of content to listen to. And it's just within daily content. That has nothing to do with anything we were doing before the pandemic. there is no better bang for your buck than if you become a $20 patron right now.
Yes, absolutely. And this is our last full month without Survivor. August is our last full month without Survivor. I cannot stress that enough. So this will be one of the last months where we are doing daily content. But it is also the last month before Survivor is really going to pick up. And it's just going to become more of a fun community and everything once we really do start getting into the season 41 pregame and all that stuff. So become a patron now and start living. Start living.
Start living. John Millsap says here, being a $20 patron is, quote, incredibly worth it.
There you
what
go.
More could you need, people?
What more do you need to hear than from John Millsap, who has been bribed by me all the time to say things like that?
Can you please say nice things about us?
Please. But yeah, the great lie next week, finally talking about that episode. It's funny. In all the episodes we've done, we've never talked about that one. Not in Classic Survivor, not in this. Like, we just have not talked about that episode because it's been talked about to death. But it's finally time to give Johnny Fairplay his due credit and talk about him. So
we'll give it to him. We'll let him know.
We'll let them have it. So that's next week. Otherwise, thank you all for listening. Become patrons and
you guys bye. Are great.